The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Ruthless Aggression Podcast here on the Barber's Chair Network. I'm Chris, joined by Rob. Pierce is not available for this episode, but he will be with us on Sunday when we record next. We felt that we had to just do this on our own, just because of scheduling and everything else. And of course, because there's been a lot that's happened since the last time that we met. There was obviously Clash at the Castle over the weekend in Cardiff, Wales, WWE's first pay-per-view in the United Kingdom since, or premium live event, whatever you want to call them, in 30 years since SummerSlam 1992 at Wembley Stadium.
Yes, and it was very good.
It was a very good quality top-to-bottom show.
Unfortunately, not the big story coming out of the weekend.
Not the biggest story coming out of the weekend.
We'll circle back though to it. I don't know, Worlds Collide was fine.
Solid show. Solid show all around.
All Out was kind of a mixed bag, I think. It was mostly, there was some good stuff, there was some bad stuff, but the real, excitement, I guess, big story came after All Out, during the press conference, when CM Punk decided to, run down Hangman again, Colt Cabana, the Elite.
Yep.
All while sitting next to Tony Khan. Kind of went off about Colt Cabana and just unprompted too, was the thing. Said some stuff about Colt, said some stuff about Hangman again, kind of said some
the
stuff
EVPs.
About the Elite, MJF, just really kind of went off on everybody, while Tony Khan was just sitting right there. And, so Punk left and went back to his locker room and apparently got in a fight with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. We don't have exactly what happened, except, there was a fight. Ace Steel bit Kenny Omega and threw a chair. So, as of right now, Omega's suspended. The Young Bucks are suspended. They won the Trios titles. Those are vacant. Michael Nakazawa and Brandon Cutler are suspended. There's an investigation going on. CM Punk and Ace Steel, I believe, are just suspended at the moment, but, hard to imagine either of them coming back. Punk won the title in the main event, and that was vacated. Not even the interim thing this time, just fully vacated. And then Punk also got hurt in the match.
Yeah.
Tore his triceps. So, lot to digest here. First of all, It's interesting, it kind of felt like this is what was going to happen after they had a talent meeting a couple weeks ago, and it just didn't solve anything. And, there might be some merit to the whole, Punk got hurt in the match and he knew that he was done, so he just, went off. Or he just, this just might have been the way it was always going to end for him. I mean, and just kind of go step by step. The Colt Cabana stuff, if I had to guess, I don't think Punk ever directly addressed it with Tony. I think Tony thought that, Punk wouldn't want him around and just kind of went and made that move and just said, go home for a little bit. And it kind of blossomed into everyone thinking that it was Punk that did it. But It also seems like Punk has just kind of thought that he was a much bigger deal, I think, than maybe he actually is, which would line up with his past as well. You know, and listen, there's every side is to blame, or both sides plus Tony Khan have some share of the blame here. You know, obviously you can't just let this happen. I think, you know, Dynamite this week was kind of a statement, like, you know, things are going to be different now. Didn't even talk about any of the guys.
Nope.
MJF is back, also, by the way.
MJF is back, that is correct.
He was going to work Punk, but now we'll probably work Moxley, and then eventually Bryan Danielson, who will probably be the AEW champion now, so that's good. But yeah, just, you know, kind of off the bat, what was your reaction to all this?
I mean, everything got really chaotic. I can't turn my head from chaos sometimes. I think you can't either. Yeah. I think that we were pretty locked into everything. It was really interesting as it was developing.
Yeah, not to cut you off, but, you know, the press conference was happening. I wasn't going to watch it. You know, I watched All Out while we were watching, you know, just kind of had it on the background, watching some other stuff. And, you know, the press conference happened, so I was, you know, upstairs in my room and such, and it's just like, oh, you know, Punk's going off, let me turn this on. So, you know, watch the whole thing, and it wasn't really a professional way for him to handle things at all. And then, you know, kept watching, you know, Keith and Swerve were there. And that part got weird because the media was straight up being like, hey, should the Elite have won instead? Well,
or the Acclaimed.
The Acclaimed. Well, Keith and Swerve were sitting right there, so it's like, that was kind of messed up. And then, yeah, it just kind of starts trickling out. Like, there was a fight, you know, between Punk and the Young Bucks, and then
it just turned into this whole gigantic thing.
I heard basically immediately was, you know, Ace Steel got involved and bit Kenny Omega and threw a chair. And I'm like, well, that seems a little far-fetched. That probably didn't all happen, but I'm sure some of it happened. Turns out it all happened.
Yeah. I mean, we don't usually talk about that, but we did start hearing things.
Yeah, I mean,
Listen,
we can just say it. We hear things.
Hear things, yeah. I mean, I hear
sometimes
things.
Sometimes it gets alluded to on here in a way that, you know, we can. Sometimes you can't.
Exactly. Especially when things are developing. But
that's what I heard.
Yeah.
And then also heard, you know, Sunday night, before it even came out, like, he has a torn triceps as well. I'm like, oh, okay. I thought it was from the fight.
But it was during the match.
No, it wasn't. It was during the match, which, yeah. So, but yeah. Sorry, yeah, continue. Like, just what was your kind of reaction to all this?
Just a big mess, a big car wreck that I couldn't keep my eyes glued off. I mean, to be honest with you, sometimes situations like that, you just can't turn away. It's like with Becky and Charlotte in the title drama or whatever. Like, no, that wasn't a fight, but that was still something that was like a kerfuffle or whatever, and you can't turn your head away from a big mess like that. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, I feel like as the dust is settled and whatnot, it's just like, what a waste.
Yeah.
It feels it sadly just feels like a waste of time.
Well,
because
are you talking about Punk's run in general?
Yeah.
I
mean, everything, at least everything since, like, January.
Yeah, because the MJF stuff was very
The MJF stuff was very good. I think it got acclaim from pretty much anybody out there, and I think that acclaim was merited.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like everything from the build-up to Hangman, Punk, and since then has just been such a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah.
Just because of how many ups and downs and,
yeah, and I mean,
dumb things that have happened since. It's just
feels
like,
you know, Punk had a problem with something that Hangman said, which, you know, no one really noticed.
No one noticed that, no.
So the proper way to handle it would have probably been to address it, you know, with some sort of backstage mediator or something at the time when it happened, instead of, you know, doing the match, getting hurt, sitting out for 3 months, seemingly, you know, being really excited to come back, and then your first promo back, you, you know, go and call Hangman a coward or whatever the fuck. And,
yeah, exactly.
Like, so that part was weird. And then again, you know, they had the talent meeting a couple weeks ago that
didn't do anything.
Did nothing.
Did absolutely nothing.
They did have another talent meeting before Dynamite this week that was Jericho, Moxley, and Danielson, who, you know, they're finally letting the adults control
the
things.
The XWE guys, by the way, which is kind of hilarious in a way.
Yeah. I mean...
just because of how different things
obviously,
are.
Obviously, you know, say what you want about Jericho. He's been around long enough that
Yeah, I mean, he's a well-traveled guy. I mean, he's been wrestling for, like, 30 years at this point.
Yeah.
So, possibly even longer. I don't remember when he debuted. I know he started off in Japan, obviously, and he was in Smoky Mountain by 94.
Yeah, I mean,
He's been around different locker rooms, so it's understandable why he would want to have a voice. And he's apparently had a voice backstage, and... I mean, that makes sense and all checks out and whatnot. Just, I don't know. It's wild because, like, I know people were like, oh, well, if you think this is the only place this is happening, well, you got another thing coming. No one, I don't think anyone doubts that. I think that people in other lines of work or whatever are just more protective of things.
Yeah.
They don't... I mean, sometimes you do get stories. I mean, people know about what happened with Percy Harvin before the Super Bowl or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In the NFL. And you've heard about NFL fights. And stuff like that. And other things that have happened in locker rooms before in the sports world. But, like... I think the problem is just that... It seems like this turmoil backstage is probably worse than being let on. I think if we know this, I can't imagine what else is going on anywhere else. Because mm-hmm. Because it all starts from the top. And if the people at the top of the promotion, and indisputably the four, you know, most important people on the show, interested people on the show
mm-hmm.
are Punk and the Elite. The Elite are the ones who are obviously the torchbearers for AEW for the last 3 years and for, you know, however long this has been going on. So if that's happening at the top, and we know that obviously the Sammy Guevara and Eddie Kingston drama as well, and that fight that happened, so I don't want to know, I do want to know what kind of other resentment is going on in other factions and figures in backstage, because it's telling, and it's indicative, I think, of just a place that needs to get right.
Yeah, and I think Dynamite did a really good job stepping in that direction.
I think they did, too. I think, honestly, like, as I was watching the show, you know as well as I do, I'm not the most avid AEW watcher.
No, you seem to enjoy it, though.
More than a couple of reasons, mostly just because of, you know, for me right now, and I think for the last 7 years or so, for obvious reasons, maybe even eight, let's call it eight. 8 years. Because 8 years ago on Sunday is when Bayley had her TakeOver Fatal 4-Way title match against Charlotte. And that's really when the launching pad came off for me with her. I've just been more invested in women's wrestling. And the fact that they just don't have a gateway to that right now besides one segment per show, it makes it a little bit of a tough watch. Just because men's wrestling, and we'll talk about that when we talk about Clash of the Castle also, because there's a couple things that happened there that, you know, are getting passionate. People are getting passionate about it, and I'm just sitting here being like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyways, I thought last night felt like they hit the refresh button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
refresh, reboot, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Some of that could have been, you know, it's the first show after pay-per-view, but some of it was probably just circumstances.
But I mean,
to be fair,
like, even the first shows after pay-per-views for them, and this is another critique I've had of their show, it doesn't seem like they've always had the best storylines on a show.
Yeah.
Throughout a show. Like, not, like, just sort of different worlds pop up when the wrestlers come down to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's really intersecting. It felt like last night there was a giant thread just because of the tournament. And, you know,
yeah,
that is what it is, but at least it's a thread. At least it's something that you could pull through. It was a refresh, refurbished, rebooted, whatever you want to call Dynamite. I think they did well. For their situation, I think they did well.
Yeah. Because
there's a lot of ways that could have gone last night, and a lot of them were bad, but they weren't.
Yeah, and, you know, credit to Tony Khan for not, you know, leaning into it on TV.
Oh, my God. I mean, I was saying that to you, too. I was like, there's no way that they could have him go out there live and make that announcement.
No.
I mean, 2 months ago or whenever it was, when they had Vince be on SmackDown or whatever, that was one of the zaniest and most surreal things like
ever. they opened the show with it and moved on.
And again, the pre-recorded announcement, that's the best possible way that they could go about it. Now, do I understand AEW fans booing Tony Khan for the announcement or before they said that we're going to vacate? Absolutely not. I don't understand that. I'm sorry. There's no single thing that he did that should warrant booing. He was fair. Like,
what's happened in the past few months is there's been a divide, you know, between Punk fans and the Elite fans.
I get that, but it's at the same time, it's like, hey, you just do some self-reflection here. There's no need to do that. And again, I'm obviously one of his biggest critics, especially with the women's division. But this, no, man, that's just being resentful for no reason. Yeah. You're mad at the wrong person here.
And I think,
you really are. He shares some of the blame too. But like, come on, be for real. There's nothing that he could have done besides suspend everyone, vacate the titles, and possibly give other people the boot. We don't know yet about that, but I feel like that's a little too much from the fans over there. Yeah. I'm glad that they at least didn't hijack the show. No. Although, apparently, Hangman was getting 50-50 reactions.
Yeah, it was a little mixed for him, which, that's not fair. But
That is especially not fair.
But I thought it was really good, too. You know, they clearly sent a message backstage, like, we're not going to address this this week. You know, MJF didn't say anything. I mean, he made a couple wink-winks,
but that's MJF. You're going to get what you get out of him.
Yeah, too. It kind of just is what it is there. But, like, yeah, they basically made it clear, like, we're going to focus on the guys that are here, you know. Mox had a great promo.
I do feel bad for Mox, because it seemed like he was going to go on vacation.
Yeah.
Now he had to be called into work because other people couldn't handle his shit.
Now he's
I imagine that anyone in that situation would probably be like throwing office chairs around or being pissed off. But hey, he took it and he cut another one of his passionate promos. And that's one of the, I think that's one of his, obviously, it's one of his strengths.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like they're doing mocks against the MJF at some point. I think you probably could drag that out till Full Gear.
Yeah,
so I don't know
definitely.
If maybe, maybe, you know, Danielson beats Mox for the title at Arthur Ashe, I think is the direction they're going to go. And then Mox gets, like, October off and comes back for the build to Full Gear.
To be honest with you, though, I wouldn't mind Bryan being champ. However, even though it's been so back and forth and maybe he might lose it anyway, there's one clear top guy in that company.
Yeah.
It's Mox.
Well,
it just is.
And here's the thing. Like,
and then that's no disrespect to Omega. That's no disrespect to the Bucks. That's no disrespect to Danielson. That's no disrespect to Punk.
Yeah.
But Mox is their, you know, like...
Well, yes.
He's their avatar.
He's their most important signing.
Yes.
I think, and,
by far.
It'll be
by
hard
far.
To top.
He's their linchpin.
Like, you know, Punk was a big one, obviously. Just
Punk was a big one for bringing...
For business,
yeah, exactly.
But, like, to
exactly.
establish the promotion.
And be the heart and soul of the promotion.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's two ways to go. I think, you know, Mox and Danielson is going to be the final Grand Slam, which
should
show,
be, hopefully.
That show is actually not looking
it's
too
not
bad.
Looking too bad, no.
You know,
it's not
we'll
too
see
bad.
What the women's match ends up being, but, you know, it's not awful. You know, if Mox wins the title, then he probably can just lose to MJF at Full Gear and be off, you know, the rest of the year, whatever he wants to do, because that's in, you know, mid-November.
Yeah.
If Danielson wins the title, I think you have to do still Mox and MJF at Full Gear. Danielson can face whoever.
Whoever. He can face whoever. It'll be 4 stars walking in the building. It doesn't
and
matter.
He can, you know, he can... He can retain the title of Full Gear and then maybe drop to MJF at Revolution. Or
yeah,
or
even before that. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I just, you know, if Danielson's first run shouldn't be short, but if Mox wins again, he can, you know, have a short run with it.
Exactly,
fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, really interesting. And then, you know, the one guy was like, oh, it's no one's business what goes on in the locker room. Well, maybe
it
shouldn't be more
don't
interesting
make it,
than the...
Well, but also don't make it everyone's business by talking about shit that no one knows about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you expect. Also, I'm sorry, but like, intrusiveness is bad. Yes, but people are going to have interest in this type of stuff.
I really am curious what the reaction last night was from the AEW fan that, you know, outside of Wednesdays and Fridays, doesn't follow any news. They just watch the show.
I would agree.
Because they exist, I imagine. I mean, it's less of a percentage than WWE fans, I think.
I would say so, just because of, I mean...
Obviously, you know, they skew younger and more
online exactly.
or whatever. Yeah, but
yeah.
You know, But yeah, really interesting time for AEW. Again, like I said, All Out was fine, I think. not their best show of the year, but it was fine. It wasn't bad, I don't think.
We'll say another positive for Dynamite was that the girls were out there before 8 o'clock, before 9 o'clock. Usual spot of 9:20 Eastern time.
I thought Tony and Penelope had a good match.
It ended abruptly, apparently. I was out smoking. Yeah. I didn't see, but yeah, I mean, you know, my my criticisms aside, obviously, I hope better for all of them over there, and I hope that this is the start of something. But listen, if they're going to be without Punk and the Elite for a while, and they presumably are,
well,
can
Punk,
we
Punk for sure?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how long the suspensions are for the Elite. I would have to imagine they're at least 30 days.
They're still doing so the investigation. All that. You know, I don't think they would not have Kenny when they go to Canada next month. That would be a surprise to me.
Well, when, I was going to say when next month. Are they in October?
I think it's like around this time, yeah. Next
then month. Again, like 30 days.
Yeah.
30-day, 4-week suspension, whatever you want to call it, I think it's probably going to end up happening just because of keeping things fair, having the protocol in place. You got to set your lines in the sand.
And they are investigating it.
They are. But my point is, though, if they're going to be without these people, listen, I know, I get it, but... Come on, man.
Yeah.
You can do more than one women's segment per show now. There's no running from it. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, build. Build. Yeah, if they're not going to get this opportunity now, it's hard not to be defeatist about it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But it just is.
Malakai Black got released.
Malakai Black did get released. That is correct.
Seemingly going through some stuff at the moment. So hopefully,
yeah. That is also something that, again, I don't want to act like I have inside knowledge on literally everything in the wrestling business. However, I was tipped off that was going to happen a couple days before it was.
Yeah.
And eventually it obviously did come to fruition. I don't know. The only thing that I will say, I'll be totally clear and transparent about, I have no idea what the condition on his conditional release is.
I think you can guess.
You can probably guess between, you know.
It's hard to imagine the number of days, but you can kind of guess what the condition
is. Yeah,
exactly.
You can. The condition is, okay, don't do business with WWE. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Hopefully he gets right, because apparently it's mostly mental health related.
Yeah.
Obviously wishing the best. He needs to get himself going or do whatever. That's fine.
It seems like FTR's hanging around, which
it does.
I thought they might leave with Punk, but no, they are apparently sticking around, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Dax is facing Claudio on Friday on Rampage for the ROH title.
Yes, that should be good.
It should be.
But yeah, that I think about covers AEW stuff at the moment.
That felt like the most thorough AEW analysis on this podcast in, like, ever.
Yeah, about 20 minutes. But we moved to Clash of the Castle now, because, again, it might have been their best pay-per-view of the year, and it just got completely
Which is kind of crazy, considering that I think that they've put on some really good shows this year.
Yeah, every show other than the Rumble.
The Rumble
I've actually kind of liked.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, when everyone was like, oh, you know, everything's going to be good again. Well, the pay-per-views kind of have been good. And Raw has mostly been good.
Raw has mostly been good. I think SmackDown's still a work in progress, but I think they're...
Yeah, SmackDown isn't very good, and now they lost Pat McAfee. So.
They did lose Pat McAfee to College Game Day. Don't blame the man for taking that opportunity at all.
Oh, no.
But if it's something that is only going to take him up through the season. He will be back by mid-December and then be back by January, I presume.
Yeah.
But I don't know the details. I don't know what ESPN is saying or wanting of him. But hopefully, you know, he adds more spirit and fire to everything. But I know that he'll probably crush it on game day.
Oh, yeah.
A very good personality.
Exactly.
Anyways, so, Clash at the Castle.
Yeah, Clash at the Castle. It was just Michael Cole and Corey Graves and Byron Saxton. They didn't make Jimmy Smith go over there.
They didn't. I was gonna say yeah. They only went with that 3-man crew. Which I was totally fine with.
Yeah, it's a good crew.
I was totally fine with it because of the first match of the night. I will not talk about the kickoff, although apparently it was pretty good. I know the Babyfaces, Madcap Moss, and the Street Profits defeated the Alpha Academy and Austin Theory, who found his first name,
yeah.
As Kevin Owens so smartly pointed out to us on Monday night.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about that because I got to see and got to hear Michael Cole call a Bayley match for the first time in almost a year,
yeah,
which is very nice.
Get into that to open the show.
Bayley, arguably the most popular person wrestler in on the show that entire night.
Yes.
I might add.
So we opened the show. Damage Control defeated Alexa, Asuka, and Bianca. I don't think it was bad. I just... it was slower than I expected. And then you kind of explained it like, you know, if you look at it that way, it's
listen,
fine.
I get that a lot of people like high energy, high tempo matches, and I'm obviously one of them. It's very nice to see. But the story of that match and the story that they've been telling, the story that they told in the bump yesterday, the story that they were clearly telling in this match is that Alexa, Asuka, and Bianca are three great individual wrestlers. You cannot take that away from them. They're obviously multi-time champions. One of them has main evented WrestleMania and Bianca. All of them have at least entered a one-on-one women's championship match at WrestleMania. No small feat, obviously. Multi-time champions. Some of them have won Royal Rumbles. Some of them have won Money in the Bank. So, but Damage Control, Bayley, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai are the better team. They've been working for months beforehand this match. They've been working on their tag stuff, obviously, through Io and Dakota being the tag team of the group. And that's, they were trying to tell that they're the more well-oiled machine here, mm-hmm. so they're going to get things done. And what did they do? They got things done. The way the match was set up was, I think, immaculate.
Yeah.
They basically made it so that Bianca would be the eventual target,
mm-hmm.
and that they needed to take her out, and they were able to dispatch Asuka and Alexa easily. And then, the end sequence, fantastic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Bianca goes into the corner, Bayley grabs her braid, holds her back, Dakota comes in with the kick, then Bayley goes in, Rose plants her, Io comes off the top rope with the moonsault, and then Bayley goes in and pins her. So not only do you give Bayley a pinfall victory over Bianca Belair, the only person I might add to this point who has pinned her multiple times.
Mm.
This has now happened twice or three times. I think it happened in a tag match on SmackDown before Hell in a Cell. It definitely happened on my birthday 2 years ago. So now she's pinned her three times. And also, you had her eat every single one of their finishers. So you protect Bianca in that sense. And you give them a legit victory. You have Damage Control stand tall. You make the right decision. And again, I mean, everything about that went super well.
Yeah.
Bayley was obviously popular as hell. I thought her reactions to the chants were absolutely hilarious. I thought it was incredibly funny that she tagged in, got cheered, and immediately tagged out,
yeah,
and got booed.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw someone say this, she's literally just like Dick Dastardly.
Yeah.
She does this like cartoon villainy shit, and it just works
mm-hmm.
all the time. And I mean, there's no reason, I mean, right after that, I knew no matter what happened in that eventually cursed Georgia-Oregon game that I was going to be happy.
Yeah.
So as long as I'm a happy customer, it's great. Bianca will be fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that she took a pin for the first time in 300 days, which they're also pointing out on TV as well.
And it seems like, you know, Dakota and Io are going to probably win the tag belts.
They're going to.
Raw this week.
They're going to.
Draw your own conclusions about why they do that, you know, the first night of Monday Night Football. You know, could be
a little bit of a watch
on
here.
The horizon. Alexa and Asuka and Bianca were not on Raw.
Alexa and Asuka were not. Yeah. Bianca was because they had that big promo segment on Raw, which I thought was very well done.
We'll see what happens there. They got a few weeks until Extreme Rules.
They do. Also, shout out to Dakota and Io for finally working a big arena or stadium show.
Yeah.
Io Sky got to work in front of 62,000 people. She said on the bump that she's never worked in front of a crowd like that before. She should, though.
No, yeah.
I'm glad that she's able to. I'm glad we're able to see that happen. Because obviously, my opinion, I love Bayley. I love all the other wrestlers. But peak Io is the best wrestler in the entire world.
Yeah. And just real quick, speaking of Bianca, you know, sure. Becky and Seth were on Ryan Satin's podcast. I didn't listen to it, but I saw a clip that the plan apparently was to run Bianca and Becky before WrestleMania.
Yeah, so what happened there was Becky said that she was suggesting other opponents on the road to Mania to save the match for WrestleMania.
Which is smart, yeah.
And Creative wanted to do it earlier, as early as day one. So I guess you can sort of draw your own conclusions as to why Bianca, who was featured on the air and on the commercials for day one all the time, didn't actually get a match. Probably because Becky wanted to stave off that match, and she pitched Liv, then she pitched Doudrop, and then they did the contenders match at Elimination Chamber. She drew Lita. So I think that, you know, with stuff like that, it's hard to get mad about things that didn't happen, obviously, but like, you know, would it have been nearly as satisfying No.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a good thing
kind
that
of shows too creatively where they were the past.
Yeah, exactly. That years, too. Yeah, but again, like I said, like I'm sure all these things end up coming up. But
yeah,
and certain things, certainly things that we don't even know about.
Oh
but,
yeah.
Needless to say, though, thank God none of that happened because it probably wouldn't have ended the way that many would have wanted it to.
Yeah. Intercontinental title match, Gunther defeated Sheamus after Ooh. 20 minutes in what could be the match of the year across
yeah.
both major companies, to be honest with you. You know, it's funny because we went into it and we're like, oh, you know, it's going to be violent. They're going to...
It's going to be an incredible match.
Be ready to work and...
They sure over-delivered.
Were. Yeah, beat the shit out of each other for 20 minutes. Imperium's back together.
They are.
So that's fun. You know,
it
SmackDown
is.
Needs tag teams. So
they do,
well.
And now you can probably run the Brutes against Imperium.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, really just an excellent match. Again, might be... It's one of the, you know, five best matches I've seen this year. They just went at it, man, and credit to both of them, because they were beat up. And
yes, they were.
You know, I didn't know who was going to win. We talked about that a little bit when we
could have gone either way.
Yeah, because Sheamus, you know, the ultimate Grand Slam thing, which I hope he gets at some
point. I hope he does, too.
And, you know, Gunther is a star. You know,
he is.
There's a lot of worry about how he would ever translate to the main roster, and I think, you know, the leadership change might have helped, but I don't think that they were treating him particularly badly. He was one of the guys that Vince actually got right.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
You know, name change aside, which... Well,
he
whatever.
Doesn't seem to care yeah, about it all either, so...
Kind of is what it is. Like, I'm over it. It's...
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Walter's an intimidating name
no,
either.
No, it's not. I mean, it's just...
You know, but, yeah, no, incredible match. If you have somehow not seen it, definitely go out of your way to check it out. It might have probably been the best match of the weekend. Yeah, just a lot of credit for both those guys.
Very and, much so, and shout out to Sheamus, one of the most underappreciated wrestlers of the past 15 years.
Oh, yeah, he's
got a standing ovation. He absolutely earned that. I'm not going to say deserved. He earned that standing ovation.
Yeah, and you know, the
deserves is a word that's kind of weird to everybody. He earned that.
And
it's about damn time.
And I remember, you know, when I got back to watching in 2011, the knock on him was, you know, he's overpushed and not ready for any of this yet. And as it turns out, you know, maybe at that time he wasn't. I don't remember for sure. But, you know, he definitely stuck with it and had a hell of a career. Liv Morgan defeated Shayna Baszler to retain the title. First half of this was a little...
I enjoyed this match.
I think they got it together.
I really enjoyed this match.
The first half was a little... concerning, but once they got it, and the crowd got into it, and that's all you can ask for. You know, it was better than Liv and Ronda at SummerSlam. I'm glad they kind of didn't do a DQ. They just kind of went with it. It makes Liv look good. And,
yeah. Listen.
You know, we'll see what happens at Extreme Rules or whatever. She loses it back to Ronda at Extreme Rules. I mean, what are you going to do, really? It's been 4 months at that point. Like,
hey, listen. Liv needed an emphatic win to increase her credibility, and she got one.
Yeah.
Her and Shayna, I thought, worked a very fluid and very good match that told a great story.
Yeah.
Which essentially was that Liv was going to be relentless and was going to fight the whole way, be scrappy. And I thought, you know, they were going to probably just end up doing the Kairi Sane, Shayna Baszler takeover Brooklyn for Roddy Piper, Bret Hart finish from WrestleMania 8 or whatever the hell. No. They had Liv pin Shayna clean as a sheet in the mm-hmm. middle of the ring, and it worked. And shockingly enough, the crowd wanted Liv to win because the crowd is fully behind Liv Morgan. That's what we're living in. I know that there are people who were like, oh, well, it's the end of the world for her now. She got booed after SummerSlam. They're doing her wrong or whatever. Listen, that crowd just wanted Ronda because people like Ronda.
Mm-hmm.
I know that people have their reasons for not liking Ronda, and they're totally all fair. I'm not dismissing that. But there's people out there who are Ronda Rousey fans. They're out here, and they just wanted to see her that night.
Yeah.
Because she was kicking ass or whatever. But look, Liv, her placement right now, even if she loses that title, I don't think it's in doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I think they know exactly what they have in her.
Yeah.
And she... I know that this is a meme. I've said it. I may have said it on this cast before. She has the dog in her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She does. She just does. And she's going to do what they want her to do. She's going to be everywhere that she wants to be. And so I think Sunday, or Saturday rather, was an affirmation of where she's at.
Yeah.
Because it could have, if it was the old regime, it probably would have, it could have gone that south for her. And they could have tried to remedy it in the worst possible way.
Mm-hmm.
But they're keeping at it.
Yeah.
So she could face Charlotte at Extreme Rules if she comes back. She could face Ronda. She could face multiple people. It's all out there right now. Yeah. So I'm intrigued about the follow-up for her. Because obviously I think a new opponent is coming her way. I think Ronda's recent comments on a stream that she had about her liking non-title stuff might be a signal that maybe they're not doing the title switch yet.
Yeah.
Because she did say that she doesn't mind that. She likes it. She brought up how Roddy Piper was never a champion, but he was still great.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be something just possibly noteworthy, just about her future. But yeah, I mean, tip of the cap to these two. They had a good match. They were very fluid. I want to see them wrestle more. I thought they did a good job for what they had to do.
Yeah.
Let's move forward.
Edge and Rey Mysterio defeated the Judgment Day.
The story of this match is what happened afterwards.
Well, yeah, and that was the story of the SummerSlam match, too. Just Judgment Day keeps losing. Like, they're losers. I don't know if it's really worth anyone's time anymore to keep this going. You have Rhea be with Dom. You can have Finn join back up with Gallows and Anderson. You want to bring them back in. I think that'd be a better usage of him. And then Priest can go with someone.
I don't know if I would go that far yet, but I think that they just need a good bounce back. And I think Monday, to be fair, I think they did get a lot of their heat back. And I think that, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in Edge versus Dom.
Yeah.
When that happens very soon. And obviously this is leading to Rey Dom, which I think is needed. I'm glad that the heel turn happened. And yeah, I mean, I think that as long as, you know, they keep on the right path, I think that they'll probably keep it. I think it's tough for Rhea in particular now, even if it's just, you know, might be an insular thing, but obviously there's been some bad stuff that's come out, trickle down before Clash, mm-hmm. that she's seemingly ignoring, which I don't think is a great move. However, she's obviously not competing right now. She might still be dealing with some health issues. So for her state, you know, she'll probably end up staying here, be presented pretty well.
Yeah.
I get the concerns for Judgment Day, but I ultimately think that Monday was a good positive step, and then at least they're not looking like losers in the segments either. The matches obviously matter, but at least they're not looking like dopes in the segments.
Yeah, that's fair. They didn't really do any backstage stuff on this show. They showed Bret Hart in the crowd and Adrian Street, I believe.
Yes.
That was cool.
Yes, it was.
Seth Rollins defeated Matt Riddle. We kind of all agreed Seth needed a win.
He did need
a win. It. You know, they really added to it on Raw on the go home, which I was kind of talking about hoping that they would do. Match was fine. I think just because of the placement and, you know, with all the college football kind of starting, the first set of games ending, I think it kind of lost.
Might have got lost in the shuffle, like, but might just need to rewatch it.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Just, you know. And
all you can say, right guy won.
Yeah,
and Seth is definitely still that dude.
Don't believe he was on Raw this week.
He was not. Neither was Riddle. They worked a short staff Raw, and they ended up still getting $2 million on Labor Day.
Yeah,
that's pretty strong. I'm not gonna lie.
Also, Braun Strowman's back.
Braun Strowman is back. That is correct. But let's save that for afterwards. So
yes.
Now we can talk WWE, the thing that people were talking about in great deal.
Well,
for obvious reasons, I understand.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Listen, so Roman beat Drew.
He did
retain the title, which
because of Solo Sikoa.
Yeah, which is cool. In a vacuum, it's not the worst thing in the world. I think Drew should have won. Obviously, you know, you have a chance to make a moment.
Yeah,
and you know, you're in the United Kingdom, and he kind of had these videos all week, and you know, they let him come out to Broken Dreams, and everyone's like, "Oh, if he loses, he's just gonna be Lex Luger." I said that, and that might have been a little much. I think, you know, he can come back from it. But, man, it kind of feels like the past 2 years was just to build to this. And then, you know, because when this was announced, even, it was like, oh, that's where Drew's going to beat Roman. And, you know, for that to not happen, I think, is just kind of a surprise. The match itself was very good. One of Roman's best title defenses.
Oh, yeah. I think it was one of his best title defenses because even though they had the ending with Solo, There wasn't a lot of kerfuffle around it.
Yeah.
This was just a match.
You know, Drew took out the Usos, or the Usos weren't even there.
The Usos weren't even there, neither was Sami Zayn.
Yeah, so...
So...
Drew didn't really have anyone to worry about.
And that, again, I think that's what made this even better, because it seemed like, you know, going in, this is going to be an epic. Mm-hmm. And I think it was an epic. I think this was a great main event.
Yeah.
I think the ending might have soured people. I fully understand. Yeah. My thought is just that... People bring up Lex Luger and that comparison. Listen, that's almost like 30 years ago. Nobody watches like that anymore. They just don't. I mean, I know that also, wrestlers need credibility. I will not argue that at all whatsoever. That's totally fine. But this is Roman Reigns. Nobody beats Roman Reigns. If you are one of the people who wrestles him and you lose to him, it's like losing to Bama.
Yeah.
In football. It's like losing to the Dodgers right now in baseball. Sometimes you face people who are playing different sports or wrestling in different, you know, environments. I mean, Roman is just on another planet.
I agree, but he's not going to be Extreme Rules, which, yeah, that's
he's
whatever.
Not.
I don't care.
That's fine. He'll be at Survivor Series, you know, though.
Well, they got Crown Jewel.
They do have Crown Jewel, which he'll probably be there.
He's going to face with Braun or Cross, though? Like, that's not... He's not going to win that, or he's not going to lose to either of them, so it's like...
Then, okay, then he loses
to... Who is he going to lose to?
Cody.
When?
Mania.
Yeah, but that's not the plan for... I mean,
you can get away. You can get away with it.
For him, unless you're going to have a main event both nights.
Well, okay, here.
The plan for him for Mania right now is The Rock.
Here, okay.
It shouldn't be a title match.
I understand. Here. Okay. Idea for you that they run back that they've already done once before. One versus all. At the Rumble.
That'd be a really bad way to get the title.
I don't know if it would necessarily be a bad way to get the title off of him, and I'm going to say that for one reason. If they build that match like the 2020 Royal Rumble, where Roman comes out first and faces everybody, and they try and link everything together, which I think they will be significantly more meticulous about now, you could theoretically cook something up. If you, in fact... You want to split the titles, that's one way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's obviously he's not going to lose the title before January. I don't think he's losing the title before January. Let's be serious
Probably
about this
not,
right now.
Though.
He's not losing the title before January. So, okay. In theory, then, you are going to have him have two titles now until January 2023. Fair. Especially considering that he's not going to be at Extreme Rules. He's going to be on the lead up to Crown Jewel and then Survivor Series. One match that he'll have a title build for, which is about a month, and Survivor Series, he basically doesn't have to do anything. Show up, segment, match, be done with it. Lead up to day one, maybe he'll do it, maybe he'll do another title match. I don't know. But you can theoretically book around that at least, because then that means you only have to do two title matches up till the Rumble. That's easy. That's very easy to do, especially with him, because he doesn't show up every week as it is.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
That's fair.
But if they want to do it in a way where he doesn't get pinned and where he's protected just by the sake of not being pinned for a championship, then you do that. And then, if you want to go a step further, you can have him be in the rematch, do a shoddy finish or whatever you want to protect him there. Okay, then you affirm that whoever won the title can beat Roman in a one-on-one match.
That's
and
fair.
Then Roman can continue to go on through his demise and eventually lose his mind, and then lose to Cody, and then we go about whatever happens next.
Well, that's fair, but, I mean, we'll see what happens, but, you know, and I think, you know, Austin Theory came out, tried to cash in, and Tyson Fury punched him out.
That was funny,
cool.
Yeah,
but then, you know, after the match, Tyson Fury came in, and...
Well, that wasn't supposed to be aired.
Well, I told you that.
But, I know, but that wasn't supposed to be
but,
aired.
But, yeah, Tyson Fury came in, and, you know, congratulated Roman or whatever, and then did the whole thing where he sings American Pie with Drew, and it just... Even if it wasn't supposed to be aired, like, is it better if they don't air it and still
sure.
make the internet? I mean,
sure.
You know, like...
Again, but see, that's my thing. You're talking about this. That's, I think, to me, that's taking wrestling a bit too seriously.
Well...
I get it, but that's also, that's just, for me, that's a line that I can't cross.
Do you want your top babyface celebrating after
I don't care. That's my thing. I don't care. It doesn't bother me because I'm not taking it that seriously. You need credibility, but I'm not doing it.
No,
I'm not taking that step forward.
If
that's too much for me. There's a line for me, and that's too much of a line.
If you know, the Yankees lost in the playoffs, would you want Aaron Judge out, you know, at the Knicks game or whatever?
I wouldn't care. That's his life. What are these people going to do? They're not just going to be sulking and be miserable all the time. People talk about that. People get mad all the time when athletes, after they lose playoff games or whatever, they're out. Who cares? They're people too. They need to get over this. And that's even athletes in sports. That's real. This is fake fighting.
No.
At the end of the day, this is fake fighting. I cannot get too worked up about something like that, even if it's footage that happens after the show. Doesn't matter. You have to... With that, to me, personally speaking, that's too much of a line to cross.
Yeah, I mean...
I understand why someone might be upset or irritated, but to me, that's just taking this whole deal a little too seriously.
No, I get you. Just, you know, it was upsetting enough to the people there that it literally killed the queen. So, you know... Yeah, keep that in mind.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, Clash of the Castle was very good.
Yes, it was.
A really good show.
Yes, it was.
You know, all their pay-per-views the rest of the year are on Saturday. Day one's not on the Saturday because New Year's Day is a Sunday. But most people will be off on the 2nd, so it's kind of like a Saturday.
Exactly.
Rumble's going to be on a Saturday again in the Alamo Dome.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll be down there for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
It is.
There's really no reason to make any pay-per-view except for Mania on a Sunday.
Honestly. I agree with you on that perspective.
I mean, day one, yeah, obviously, which day one won't exist anymore after this year, probably. So, you know, but
we'll
I mean,
rebranded or something.
You know, the Saturdays are better, and I don't really think there's too much competition on the set. I mean, if you pick the days
UFC
that UFC's
or whatever,
not on,
like fine, or even if you do, who can? I mean, people can find ways to watch both anyway.
Running directly against UFC in Vegas this year.
That's stupid.
That was dumb.
But if you're running an event in a completely different city, that's totally
wrong. Well, I ran against Pacquiao in Vegas. That was fine. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
So you can do it.
You can do it.
I don't know that there's necessarily, like... I don't know if they're competing for a ton of the same audience.
No, I don't think they are either. And I think the people who want to be invested in both will be invested in both.
Yeah.
That's another thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is ultimately the case there.
Yeah. Okay, should we do the 2006 stuff real quick?
Yes.
We are saving SummerSlam for this weekend, so we'll just talk about Raw and ECW and SmackDown real quick. First, we have the music and movies that we got to take care of here. Top 5 songs... Into the top 5 is Buttons by the Pussycat Dolls. Down to 4 is Me and You. Down to 3 is Promiscuous. Staying at 2 is Crazy. And at number 1 is London Bridge by Fergie. So we got a new number 1 song.
Very popular MySpace song.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So we can move to the top 5 movies. Debuting at number 5 is Pulse, which I don't remember. Down to 4 is Barnyard. Up to 3 from 8 is World Trade Center. Debuting at number 2 is Step Up, and staying at number 1 is Talladega Nights. So there we go indeed. We get into Raw from Charlottesville, which I believe the
John Paul Jones Arena on the campus of UVA.
Yes.
Yep.
Edge and Lita are here to open the show. Edge says the champ is here. John Cena is not. He's dealing with something else right now. Edge has a story for us. He's going to defend his title Sunday against Cena, and he could lose on disqualification. He's got to go to Boston and do it, which is where Cena's from. But, you know, tonight he's going to defend his title on Raw against Carlito, so Edge needed to relax a little bit. He took a journey to West Newberry, which is the home of John Cena. He goes into the house, and it ends with him slapping Cena's dad and leaving. Kind of a famous segment that people remember. Yeah.
Yeah. That was very funny to watch back, to be honest with you, because I remember vividly that whole segment, and I don't really remember the reaction to it, just because people were so anti-Cena at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But this was still very funny. Also, John Cena's dad sucks.
That is true. Yes,
his dad is terrible.
Yes,
genuinely one of the worst people that exists, seemingly in wrestling. Anytime that he was speaking or whatever, it was like, okay, who asked for that again?
Yeah.
Moving on to women's championship match between Mickie James and Lita, and seemingly happening out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And Edge distracted the referee. Lita hit Mickie with the championship and pinned her for the victory. Mickie is from Virginia, of course, in Richmond, so this was...
what's the point of all that? Like,
they probably could have waited a week.
I'm going to build it up a
little
bit.
This is an obvious setup for Lita and Trish at the next month, the next pay-per-view in Toronto. However, I think they could have probably waited a week. They maybe could have just set the segment up and just done this next week after SummerSlam.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially considering that Edge...
There's really nothing on SummerSlam with the women anyway, so like...
No, exactly. So that was kind of...
It was weird.
Weird, kind of lame.
There's two SummerSlam theme songs.
There are.
Cobra Style by Teddy Bears, which has a weird mix of a fucking Kid Rock song.
It's it's a fun song. I remember it.
The other one I didn't write
down. Smack the Enemy.
Yeah, it was from SmackDown vs. Raw
2007. Yes, it was.
Mick Foley's backstage, been standing his ground against Flair, then he folded last week, and he's disgusted with himself. Going to be responsible, though, and, going to be responsible for the destruction of Ric Flair. Tomorrow he's going to ECW, and he invites Rick to come along and meet up with him there. So, that's cool, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Foley stuff is weird. Like,
very, very, very strange.
He's not a very good heel, unfortunately. No, he's not. At this point, like, the Mankind heel stuff was good.
The Mankind heel stuff was because he was deranged, and because Paul Bearer was... behind him after they did the turn where Paul Bearer turned on the Undertaker for the first time.
Yeah,
so it worked for that reason. Right now, this one's
just like, everyone kind of likes Mick Foley, I think, and they're having him be a heel by...
exactly. I mean, everyone loves Mick Foley by this point.
He's just being weird with Melina.
Yeah, it's just very strange. I didn't really care for this era of Mick Foley.
Yeah.
At all.
Umaga squashes the jobber, which he's beaten Triple H and Shawn Michaels in the last 2 weeks, so I don't know why he's not kind of...
Keep heating because he's going to be in the match at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Just have him keep bulldozing people.
Ric Flair's in action against Johnny Nitro. Mick comes out shortly into the match and attacks Rick, and then Rick gets the upper hand, but Melina hits a low blow, and then Mick's going to crush his head with the steps, but Rick gets out of the way. Really building that match.
And then DX is here. They say that the past couple of weeks have been tough for them, obviously, with Vince and Shane, but they're in for some pain on Sunday. This brought out Vince and Shane. Vince said that they'll bring the wrath of Satan Sunday because DX has no chance in hell. Triple H doesn't care who they bring. It's over for them on Sunday.
Yeah.
You had a tag team match between Eugene and Hacksaw Jim Duggan against the Spirit Squad. Highlanders cause a distraction, and Eugene and Hacksaw Jim Duggan defeat the Spirit Squad.
Yes. Then we get a video. Jeff Hardy is back on Raw next week.
Which will produce one of the funniest one-liners in recent modern WWE history.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about if you've seen the promo before.
Yes.
I'm prepared to howl in laughter.
Armando Alejandro Estrada says that Umaga could be of service for the McMahons on Sunday against DX. And then it's time for Edge against Carlito in the main event. It's not a title match. Edge said it was because he is a fool. Lita gets involved, but then Trish comes out to even the odds a little bit. And then later, John Cena comes out and attacks Edge. As it turns out, he was not in West Newberry with his dad after all. He's back here, so...
Yes.
They're ready for their match, but first, we have to get the final segment in the Randy Orton-Hulk Hogan feud. So Randy comes out. He's been waiting all night for Hogan. Doesn't know if Hogan's there or not. And then the imposter from Orton Knows Best comes out, and they do their thing for a little bit. And then the real Hogan comes out, and he punches Randy, and... Randy leaves, and then does a leg drop on the imposter, and, ready for that match, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so. So that was Raw.
Yeah.
Not a terrible go-home show by any means, I don't think. I think the weirdness of Mickey and Lita aside, I think they did what they had to do here.
Yeah.
The Orton-Hogan stuff is kind of just dull.
Yeah, it's not very good. Move on to ECW from Washington, D.C., Paul Heyman's with the Big Show in the back, and he's got a statement to make. 2 nights ago, Kurt Angle suffered a groin tear, and he's medically suspended, so he can't be in tonight's Triple Threat number one contender match. So instead, it's just RVD and Sabu in a ladder match to face the Big Show at SummerSlam. And we didn't really discuss it last week, but Kurt is basically done with WWE at this point. We'll get more into it when it officially happens, but pretty crazy.
Very much so. Very much so.
Mick Foley's here. Ric Flair said Mick was nothing until he accidentally fell off Hell in a Cell, but that's not really what happened. Mick got thrown off, and then he got off the stretcher, and he got chokeslammed to the top of the cell. And, Mick's not a quitter, and he won't be a quitter against Flair. He's got a guest, and it's Kelly Kelly. And then Melina also comes out, and all three of them dance for some reason. And then Rick comes out and throws Mick into the steps and chokes him with his belt. I don't know. It's not very good. I mean, I don't know.
No.
CM Punk's in action against Just Incredible again. This time he wins quickly with the Anaconda Vice, and this will be the end of Just Incredible's WWE run.
Yes. Very short-lived, but not surprising. RVD, he has a match tonight with Sabu. We got another Rene Dupree vignette. And then Testin Mike Knox squashed the FBI. Paul Heyman was getting Big Show ready for his match. Kurt Angle came in and attacked them, and Big Show wants to press charges.
Yeah, that won't really go anywhere. Nope. RVD and Sabu have their ladder match, and, you know, to their credit, you know, ECW's not a very good show, but they really brought it.
They did.
You know,
they did. This is better than I remember.
Type of match that both of them would really excel in, and it's kind of played to their strengths, and eventually Big Show comes up and gets Sabu up to powerbomb him, and Sabu, you know, lays on Big Show's shoulders, just reaches up and grabs the contract, which, not really a finish I remember seeing in a ladder match, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool as hell.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That was ECW. Wasn't very good, but...
Not surprising. The world of sports was kind of not so active.
Yeah.
Because we're basically in the period of time where it's just baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one notable thing that happened on Saturday, which I suppose we can talk about since Friday we're talking about SmackDown. The night game of a day-night doubleheader between the Yankees and Red Sox broke the MLB record for the longest nine-inning game, a 14-11 Yankees win lasting 4 hours and 45 minutes. The previous record was held by the Dodgers and the Giants, who played a 4-hour and 27-minute contest. The day game was a 12-4 Yankee victory. It was not a short one either, at 3 hours and 55 minutes. So if you want to know where the memes started of Yankee-Red Sox games taking forever... Well, there's a treat for you right there, because that's where it started.
I think they broke the record since then as well.
Yeah, I believe they did. If you want to know where that all started, quite a busy weekend in Boston also.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that game was in Boston, but regardless.
Yeah.
That was about it, though, because there was Premier League action, the season opened, but you know, we can talk about that stuff as the season goes on.
Yeah, that makes sense. We get into SmackDown, also from Washington, D.C. Batista comes out and just beats Sylvain to open the show, because they're in D.C., and that's where he's from.
Might as well.
Yeah. Layla won the Diva Search, so that's nice. She'll do a couple things going forward.
Yeah, she's going to be around for a while.
Yeah, she ends up having a decent career. MVP's in a skybox. He's still in negotiations with Teddy Long. Sylvester Turquet squashes Scotty Tuhati.
For the record, I do like the MVP stuff. I liked how they're playing this along.
Yeah, it's good.
There's some... I thought... And I would automatically assume that it comes from the mind of MVP. I think this was a really well done intro to this character, because at this point in time, you don't really see it that often nowadays. I think for the most part, a lot of the group is calmed down. But this was, you know, this was the era of the arrogant wide receiver, and I think that that's what they were trying to pull from here. We're only a couple years removed from T.O. A couple years removed from Randy Moss, too. He was just traded to Oakland or whatever recently, within the last year. So this was... I have no doubt that MVP saw how they were acting, and he wanted to kind of throw it into his character by, you know, being hard-ass when it comes to being a contracted player, calling himself the franchise player or whatever. So I think this was good character work. It's smart. It makes a lot of sense. And it, like I said, to me, this really worked for me also, just because I was obviously, and still am, an NFL fan, and I could tell exactly where he was trying to pull from.
Mm-hmm.
It just worked out that way.
Yeah.
It was good, relevant stuff, so shout out to him for this early build, because I've been really digging this. I forgot how this whole thing played out, but they did this really well.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Kennedy gets a win over Tatanka. Undertaker and Great Khali are doing their last man standing match tonight. I thought it was going to be on
SummerSlam. They wound up, I remember that whole thing, they wound up pulling it.
Yeah, it's on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Khali throws the Undertaker off the stage through a table, but Taker answers the 10 count, and then eventually Taker hits him with a chair and choke slams him and gets the win.
Honestly, not as bad as it could have been.
It was fine.
It was fine.
Boogie Band is back soon. So
yes.
That's something. Vito gets another squash against the Jobber. At some point, you should probably just do something with him if you're going to, you know.
Yep.
And that's time for Finlay against Bobby Lashley for the United States Championship. They get a really good back-and-forth match, and Lashley's about to win, but Regal interferes and causes a disqualification. And so Finlay retains.
Yep. Feud will continue.
Booker issues a royal proclamation to end the show, and Batista comes out and throws him out of the ring, stands tall to end the show.
So you had good home booking for Batista. You had terrible home booking for Mickie James.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks.
Yeah, well, you know.
King of the Ring. Well, actually, let's turn our King of the Ring when we talk about SummerSlam on Sunday.
Yeah, there's no point in doing it now. Yeah. But yeah, we'll be back to talk about SummerSlam and the next week. And
Jeff Hardy's return to Raw.
Yeah, probably not too much more current stuff. I mean, we'll see what Pierce thinks about all this AEW stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And Pierce deserves to have his cake be heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll chat about that on Sunday. We'll chat more about 06. We're going to be doing 2 weeks of TV for the next couple of weeks, probably until October. So just be prepared for the shows to be slightly longer. But we're just in need of a catch-up after a busy July and then a busy August. But
yeah.
Y'all already know the deal. Y'all have been great listeners to us, and we're going to continue to provide you the goods. So be sure, of course, to follow Barbershare Network at BarbershareNet on Twitter, follow all the podcasts and listen to all the podcasts on Apple, iTunes, and Spotify. I know that recently there was a new Apple feed. I know that was on the Twitter account. So, you know, and obviously football season's ramping up. Just to get more 7 Nights in Hallis, 2 Minute Drill. Just a lot of fun stuff coming. So, you know, the content machine is not stopping here anytime soon. So anyways, for Rob, I'm Chris. Have a pleasant evening, and if you're watching this, you probably already watched the football, but enjoy the football all weekend.